What an honor it is to be here with you today. As soon as we knew Nolan was coming here as pastor, he said, "Would you be willing to preach for me when the baby comes?" And we had no idea when that would be, but I said, sure. So here I am today because the baby came on Friday. Esther Joy was born. I think we're going to call her Essie. Is that correct? Essie? Who knows for sure? Essie. All right. Then it shall be Essie. Good. I assume that's what the pink roses are for? Lovely, lovely. So, Mary Louise, I'm like any other preacher. I get these ideas during worship, and I wonder if we could do this, if everybody's willing. If we could all stand and sing Happy Birthday, Dear Essie, I want to get it on a video. I'll start back here and sort of swing through, and I'll send it to him. How's that? All right, it could be a cappella. Just so we sing Dear Essie, we'll be good to go. But let's stand. Thank you very much. I'm going to do what we don't want you to do in worship, and I'm going to send a text. And what should I say? We love you? We love you all. How about that? Woohoo! And it is done. Fabulous. Good. Now I'll put that away. Very good. Well, I am honored to be here with you all. Most of you know that when I said yes to being here today, we had no idea this would be my last day in the district. And so you all are the last people for me to love on before I roll out of town this afternoon after a good lunch. And I appreciate this. I think God's timing is just right. What do you think? Just right. You are going to be served by a wonderful person, Dr. Darren McClellan. He is a friend of mine. He's a great leader. And I'm really looking forward to you all getting to know him. He'll be preaching next Sunday, so you'll get to know him. He and Nolan are dear friends as well, and so I think it should be a seamless transition. So I've been honored to be a part of your transition and your change and your growth, and I'm just delighted. It was worth my time in Bay Pines just to be with you all. So thank you very much. Now I'm going to move on, so don't cry. So it happened twice to me, happened to me twice. The first time was in April 2010, and we had a young lady in the Montgomery area, one of the churches, who made an appointment with me to sit down and talk about what it was like to be a female senior pastor of a large membership church, which I was at the time in Millbrook. She was discerning whether or not God was calling her into ministry. So we scheduled a time on a day in April. I think it was a Thursday. And we were sitting having coffee. And she had told me her call story about how God had called her to be a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, in her early 20s. And how now in her early 30s, she was feeling like God was calling her to do something more. So we had talked about her call story, and she said, "Let me hear your call story." So I started talking about when God called me into ministry. And as I was telling my story, my phone rang, and I looked down. It was my district superintendent. And like any good pastor should do, I answered the phone. So I excused myself, and I said, "This is my superintendent. I'll be right back." So I went off so that we had some privacy. And he said to me, "June, you know it's appointment making week, and the bishop wants to give you a new appointment." And as any good pastor would do, I didn't know what to say. I became silent. And then I said, "Well, great." After the shock had worn off a little, "Great, what is it he wants me to do?" And he said, well, he wants you to come to the conference office and serve as assistant to the bishop. That was in April of 2010. I served there 5 years, and then I came here. Now, fast forward to 4 weeks ago, and I had made an appointment with a young lady in our district who is a college student, and I was sitting in the office at First United Methodist Church of Bay Minette with her senior pastor, Jay Cooper, and we were talking about her call to ministry. And she had told me about her call, and then she said, tell me about your call. So I started talking about my call. Well, I had turned my phone off. But when I got back in the car, I looked, and during the sharing of my call story, I had received a call from Bishop Leland. So I called him back, and he said, June, I just wanted to let you know that this is what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about moving you from Bay Pines back to the conference office. Now, it wasn't until I started preparing this message for you that it hit me. Two times I've shared my call story, and two times I've been moved. So it sort of tells me, I need to stop telling my story, don't you think? At least for a little while. But I thought that ironic, that here I am sharing with a person in young in faith, really, and young person discerning ministry, that here I am sharing my call story, and that's when the call comes for me to move. Fascinating, it's not a coincidence, a fascinating work of God. So today, as I come to you all on this last opportunity to talk with you, I wanted to talk about this whole idea of calling, because every single person who is a Christian has been called by God to do something and to be something. You don't have to be an ordained minister to be called. All you have to do is be a baptized Christian who, by virtue of your baptism, you have become a minister. And everyone has a calling. Hopefully, we're teaching our children, especially through CLC, to hear God's call at a young age, because God does speak to us when our hearts are not yet older and filled with the busyness of an adult life. It's a good time for God to call us when we're children. And that's what our story is about today that we're reading out of the Old Testament. It's one of my favorite passages, and I hope that you will hear these words as we think about our call as individuals and as a congregation. What is it God is calling us to do? What is it God is calling us to be? This is from 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God has not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel, and he said, Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision of Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And Samuel said, Here I am. Eli said, What was it that God told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here we are hearing the story of a little boy, elementary school age boy, who is hearing this call from God. And it's a wonderful model to all of us, whether we're young or whether we're middle-aged or whether we're an older adult. It's a great story that reminds us of the ways in which God calls us and how we need to be prepared to receive, to hear a call from God. When we truly live into our calling, into how God wants us to serve God and others, we get to join God in changing our world for the better. Now, this congregation, in my mind, my experience over the past few months, is you all have been listening to the voice of the Lord, and you have answered a call to renew this congregation, to renew this community. And now under the leadership of Dr. Donald, you all are with one mind and heart, and you are answering the call that God has placed upon your hearts to be the change agents in this community and around the world. So, you all have taught me some things. The scripture has taught me some things. And I want to share with you four different words that I think describe how we need to be prepared to hear God's call to us in moving out into our world. First of all, we need to continue to learn what it means to live as a Christian. So the first word is, I'm going to give you four words. They all start with L. The first one's learn, okay? We're never too old, we're never too young to learn more about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Never too young, never too old to learn more. The scripture is our primary source of inspiration. This is what God has given us to understand the Christian life. They are primary. They answer the questions that we may not even known to ask yet. There may be questions that we have no answers for right now, but these scriptures provide answers for us. So we need to continue to read our scripture, whether that is individually, it's also in community. Bible studies, small groups, Sunday school. These are the ways in which we learn first and foremost how God is calling us to live. Also learning more about prayer. You are a congregation of prayer. You have an intercessory prayer ministry that goes on during the service. Before I came in here for this worship, Jim Beam prayed for me back here in your chapel. Keep doing that. Keep that up, because prayer is what prepares our hearts and minds for the workings of the Spirit in worship. For some of us, it's easier to pray by ourselves. Some of us, we're comfortable praying in a group. Some of us like to pray alone, where there's nothing interrupting us. Some of us like to pray moving around. Yesterday I was vacuuming my house for the very last time. I don't even know where I am right now. Where am I? For my very last time. And I had an inspiration. I had to stop my vacuuming and text my colleague who I'd been talking to earlier in the day and say, apparently my best work comes when vacuuming. I need to do more of it. But I was praying while vacuuming, and that's when God inspired me with an idea to something that we had been talking about earlier in the day. So we can pray wherever. Prayer, even vacuum cleaners don't drown out prayer. Sorry, men and women who vacuum. It's okay. It's okay. But figure out the best way to continue praying in your prayer life. That's the key. Keep learning about scripture, about prayer. Keep on keeping on. The second thing the scripture teaches me is to continue to look. Look around at the people in your life and make sure you're part of a small group that talks about being a Christian. You know, sometimes it's easy to get into a Sunday school class or a small group class, and we get so busy talking about other things that we forget that the main thing is the main thing, which is growing as a Christian. So stay in your class. Be engaged in a small group. If you all start new groups this fall, be a part of that. There could be a group that you form in your neighborhood. There are lots of people in Foley who need a Christian friend. Look around. Look for those people who are marginalized, those who are not noticed. Look for those that are estranged from the church. You know, we have a lot of people we now call, if you do reading about church attendance, they're called the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. And it means they have no relationship at all. There's also a group called the Duns, D-O-N-E-S. It means they're done with church. Look for those people and say, you know, come back and give us a try. We're trying to be the church of Foley that God has called us to be. And when people see us looking at them as people of great worth, they realize that we understand they are children of God. So, learn, look. The next word is love. The next thing is love yourself as others. We talked about this today in the Sunday school. What Sunday school class was I in, Ed? What is that called?
Kairos
class. I was in the Kairos class. We were talking about loving ourselves as our neighbor. In Matthew 22, the scripture says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love in action. Many people don't realize that Christians want to share their love with others. Some people, when they hear the word Christian, they really don't understand who Christians are. If we were to go to Walmart right now, and this is a peak shopping hour for Walmart, if we were to go down there and ask people, what is a Christian? Some people might say, well, I have no clue. Some might give a definition that we know is not really who we are. And some people might say, we really don't care. That's okay. That's what I call a clean slate. You have something to work with there, right? You can show people with your love and with your actions that God loves them and that we are going to honor them and we invite them to be a part of community. It's how we treat others and ourselves that reflect how much of God's love we have in our hearts. It's how we treat others and ourselves that reflect how much of God's love we have in our hearts. So we're learning, we're looking, we are loving. Finally, there's the word listen. Listen for God's directing you. This could be a still small voice that you recognize as God leading you to do the Christ-like thing. It could be a very apparent voice that comes to you, like the Apostle Paul on the road when he was blinded. For some of us, that might be how a call comes. Sometimes I hear people say, well, it's my gut's just telling me to do this. Well, from a faith perspective, I would say that's probably that still small voice that God is directing you, leading you, calling you to follow. The more we listen for God's presence in our lives, the better we get at understanding how God wants us to live. You notice in this scripture, that's exactly what happened. Eli said to Samuel, "Go back, lie down, and keep listening." The more we listen for God's presence in our lives, the better we get at understanding how God wants us to live. We're not the only people who it takes three times for God to get our attention. It's in the scripture. It took Samuel three times to understand, wait a minute, this is God calling. My son lives in Nashville. Ironically, he manages a moving company, so you can imagine that I've been texting him a lot over the past 2 weeks saying, help! How do I do this kind of a move so quickly? He's been a big help. But he lives in Nashville, and he has a black lab named Sarge. And Sarge is my granddog. I don't have grandchildren yet, so I have a granddog. And Sarge is really good at listening. Jonathan has had Sarge since he was a puppy. And Sarge has learned to know exactly when John is pulling up in front of his house. Now, you may have a dog at your house like this, or you've had one in the past. Now, when Sarge was a puppy, he couldn't tell the sound of John's truck engine. He would be in, and I was with him when he was a puppy. And John, it wasn't until John walked in the door that Sarge realized John was home. But now that Sarge is 3 years old, he knows exactly when John has gotten to the house. He knows when the truck door slams. He knows that it's John's truck. And he seems to know when John rattles his keys. Sarge knows John is near because he has listened very carefully for 3 years. He now knows what the engine sounds like, what the door sounds like, what the keys sound like. And because Sarge listens carefully, he knows exactly when to be at the front door. You have a dog like that? You know what I'm talking about? And I think about how we are in relationship to God in this example, because it's through the listening, the more we listen for God's voice, the more we listen to how God is calling us, the better we get at being ready to be at the door when he opens it. That's what it's all about. Listening for God's call. So as you can see, it takes preparation. It takes a lot of listening. It takes paying attention in order to be ready for that call. We need to become so familiar with how God directs us and leads us that we can anticipate and look forward to God's presence in our lives. So as we sit here today on August 28th, 2016, I believe is the date, we are very much aware of the past. We're very clear on what's going on in the present. And we are living in faith for the future. So I encourage each and every one of us as individuals and as a congregation to continue to practice what we need to, the things we need to practice in order to be listening for God's call. We're never too young and we're never too old to follow God's calling. God has a plan for each one of us. God wants us to do something significant with our lives. God wants us to do something that honors and pleases God, honors ourselves, and reaches our community. So I challenge each one of us today to continue all the ways in which we prepare to hear God's call in our lives. Through learning and loving, listening, all the ways that we get ready so that we can hear that call. Some of us today may be saying to yourselves, oh my goodness, what I thought was something else is actually God calling me. I need to live into that. I need to say yes to that. And that's great. Just pay attention. That's a big part of the Christian life, right? It's just showing up and paying attention. Because God's doing the work. It's our job to pay attention. May you continue to live into the calling that God has given to each and every one of us.